And it was this very effective French way of taking care of its aristocracy that made things. Well, anyway, they sought to quell all that was the foundation of the French Revolution and all that, and to point the direction at Egypt, excuse me, at Greece, and to say that all this intellectual tradition that is the West comes from Greece, and to point away from that piece of the intellectual tradition that came from someplace else. To say that the French intellectual tradition didn't come from the Americas is to simply just be completely unwilling to look at where it did come from. It's just it would be a completely impossible thing to do with any, and keep your face straight face doing it. Okay, my point is this. Even before we get to the issues of what did Franklin know, and who did Jefferson know, and what did they say to each other, and this and that, and this other stuff, I say that there's a reason why the West historians don't want to find Indians in the background. And that reason is a very powerful cultural reason in the West. Once we get past that, and we can say, well, let's see what they did say. Let's find out what these other guys did do, and who did they know, and what were they influenced by, and where did these ideas come from, then we'll get someplace else. I want to make one last observation. If I was going to look in the West for the origins of the American Constitution and the democratic tradition, I would not look at the Greeks. Nobody even wrote a history of the Greeks until the 1840s. It wasn't although there were people reading the Greeks, but when I read the Greeks, I hear Hitler more than I hear these other guys. Anybody who would please read Aristotle carefully, this guy's not a libertarian. Where did the ideas of democracy and that stuff come from that penetrate the West and give the West legal tradition some foundation? There is a book, of course. And it is called I'll never forget this book. It is by Harold Berman. And it is called Law and Revolution, the Formation of the Western Legal Tradition. And what he describes, he says, and I have every reason to believe this, because it's the best argument I've ever seen in print about where the idea of constitutionalism comes from, about where the ideas of citizenship arise out of, and what the customs of medieval Europe originate in that turn into a whole bunch of the stuff that we look at today in the American legal tradition and say this is American. This stuff was already alive and well and working hard in its existence in Western Europe, in Holland, which incidentally is by accident the place the Puritans came from when they arrived over here. So the Dutch had a long tradition of fighting for freedom and struggling against Spanish oppression and stuff for centuries before, and I think a lot of what was there in the American legal tradition came from that origin of the European city-state and its legal tradition. I want to say that's kind of interesting in a sense that I think most people never heard that in my mind. I think most people never heard of Madeira's Island. I think they never heard of the Gaunches. I think they never heard of the Elizabethan conquest. I think they have never heard of how the idea of the enclosure system found its way to North America and actually into American Indian land policy. I think most people don't know about the transformation of the biology through microbes and through plant life and through all this other stuff that transformed North America. And I think they don't know very much. I mean, really, don't know very much. Even the historians, I don't believe a lot of them, know the big themes of world history that created the things to happen the way they are. They don't know about the French intellectual tradition of the 16th century, much less the Jesuit tradition of the 17th century, that all of these themes and stuff roll through history. To me, they paint a mosaic that says that there have been a lot of contributors to modern life, that Indians have contributed to modern life, and to the extent that they have, and to the extent that we're able to document that we ought to give credit to that. But I think that the black Africans have every bit as much right to look at the history of black Africa as a contributor to modern world existence, and everybody else has a right to do that. In my opinion, there are a few of us around who still don't think so, who are still trying to limit and trying to argue that sight unseen, there's no argument that could prevail to ever convince us that Indians had anything to do with Indians, and that basically it's all in my books or it's not worth anything, already done. My opinion is that I want to challenge that. I want to ask people to open their minds to this. We're going to do a very solid sort of academic penetration of this question. We've got excellent scholars like Vine Deloria and Tim Colder and people like that who are writing this book that we're going to try to make an explanation of how this all pulled together. And I just hope that that in academia that the whole issue of the Aryan historians can be dealt with, faced up to, looked at carefully, see what it did to the whole tradition of history writing in the West, and then we can go on from here and write the real thing and do it right. That's what I'm hoping to see. Anyway, so I thought I'd come and talk about that.
I really wish we had another couple of hours for John to bring that home all the way. I think that plane's still flying out there that has to land yet, but we are a little bit late for our afternoon session, and I think we might as well make our way over at this point, and I do hope John comes back for a full seminar on the topic. Thank you.